You are Locked On Spurs, your daily San Antonio Spurs podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
There will be no sweep. The San Antonio Spurs beat, yes, I said that right. The San Antonio Spurs beat the Golden State Warriors in game four, avoiding elimination and forcing a game five back in Oakland. The final score 103, Golden State Warriors 90. Spurs get the win, and the series is now 3-1. Welcome to Locked On Spurs right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. I am Jeff Garcia of News 4 San Antonio, Fox 29 San Antonio Spurs Zone. And I'm pretty sure you're still celebrating the game four win in San Antonio, and what a win it was. As mentioned, the Spurs avoided getting eliminated, and their season continues on. But they're going to have to do it this time on the road, where it has not been kind for them this entire season, including the postseason. So, overall, the game was electric. It was exciting. The Spurs actually took a lead at halftime. And for a moment there, I thought this was going to be a situation of, well, we've seen this before in the previous game, strong first half. Then the wheels come off in the second half. That did not happen. The Spurs weathered the storm. The Spurs withstood Golden State's second half punch when Golden State brought it as close as down to 6 and 8 points. Yeah, it got real tight towards the end of the game. And doesn't matter how they got the W, they got the W. And hopefully it'll continue in game five, and the Spurs will make NBA history as being the first team ever to come back from an 0-3 deficit in the NBA postseason. So to talk about this game, a lot more takeaways, I am joined by my fellow writer over at the Spurs Zone, Tyler Clerk. And Tyler, what a game. Did you see this coming?
I did not. I think in our round table, I came out and said that I was expecting a beating, just like every other game that we've seen in this series. So for them to come out and pick up a win, it genuinely shocked me.
Yeah, you look at this game four and heading into it, the Spurs were thoroughly beat in the first three games. And you add the fact, too, that the Warriors maybe were looking to close this out already just because they wanted to get some rest. You had that scary injury, or what could have been, to Kevin Durant in game three. And then, of course, Sean Livingston with his ankle injury. They were fine, but nevertheless, you would think a team like Golden State would put this team away, and I'm glad they didn't. You know, they got the Pelicans waiting already. They were probably in their minds, well, look, New Orleans is already advanced. You know, we got to make short work of this game. But no, the Spurs went ahead and forced a game five. You know what? When I look at this game, before we get into our takeaways, one thing I liked, Tyler, was simply this. This team came out with fire, with passion. They were not backing down, and they did not look like a team that was on the verge of being eliminated.
I mean, that's how I thought, too, you know? Like, whenever they came out, I was expecting them to kind of, I don't want to say be defeated, because I don't think any team is going to go in there just already thinking we're going to lose. But you got to think, like, it's held over their head. I mean, Manu wouldn't come out and say, like, I don't want a farewell party if he didn't think they were going to lose. Because you got to think about, like, all the previous games in this series and how they've went. And going into this one, especially with everything that's been going on within the Spurs, like, it'd be hard to pick up a win. But to see them come out with the intensity they did and how great they were playing, it was, like I said, it just one word describes it all. It just shocked me.
Yeah, I was shocked. I wish this Spurs team would have been playing like this since day one of the regular season and also game one of this postseason series versus the defending champs. Now, look, obviously it's not over. This Spurs team still has a lot of work to do ahead of them. I think that a lot of the players said it best after the games. Yeah, we can soak in this win for a little while, but as soon as they wake up in the morning, it's as if it never happened. I think that's the mentality they have to take. Because they got to win three straight versus the defending champs in order to advance. And you know what? What do you feel about that? Do you think players and teams should just forget about this? I always battle with that. Yes, I get it. You know, they still have the matter at hand. But my goodness, you want to be pumped. You want to carry this mojo into the next game. Right, Tyler?
I mean, yeah. Here's my thing about that. Like, obviously, I look at them. I want them to take this as momentum. Yeah. You know, I don't want them to sit here and think, like, for the next however many days, like, oh, we beat them, we did this, we already won, we did, like, I don't want to say completely forget about it, obviously, but I want to just take the good that came out of it and use it moving forward, you know? It's just, like, I don't know, like, I'm with you, it's weird, because you definitely, like, especially in this series, like, how it's all been going on, like, you got to try to pull out the good in it, but at this point, I want them, like I said, to just take the good out and then use it going forward, not just dwell on it.
Yeah, exactly. Look, this is a game that the Spurs can definitely build, as Tyler mentioned, momentum, and they're going to have to do that. They're going into hostile enemy territory. You cannot sit there and tell me that this Warriors team is not ready to call it an end for this series and move on. So the Spurs are going to have – how the Spurs played in Game 4, they're going to have to double that at the Oracle Arena. I really believe that. Let's go and go into some numbers now, Tyler, before we start doing our takeaways. Obviously, the big story is Manu Ginobili. My goodness, just when you think that this could be the end of his career because he has nothing left in the tank, he pulls out of his sleeve a classic Manu game. 25 minutes, 16 points off the bench. He finishes with 3 rebounds, 5 assists, shoots 3 for 5 from the 3-point line, and 50% from the field. As much as those numbers may not scream out to you, it's that fourth quarter play. And you know what? If you push the numbers aside, Tyler, and yes, he had a great game off that bench, but it's beyond that, in my opinion. It's beyond the numbers. It's that emotion, that heart, that will to win. To me, that speaks louder than simply numbers. Your thoughts, Tyler?
Definitely. And I feel like that's what he's just always brought to the Spurs team, you know? I mean, even like a game like this, like we mentioned earlier, like they could be so easy for teams to go in and just be defeated before they even play the game, before they even touch the ball, you know? But to see him come out with this intensity and this drive, and I feel like this game was kind of, as corny as it may sound, this game was for Pop in a way, you know? Like, mm-hmm. Manu, you could tell, and whenever they asked him about the death of Pop's wife, he was obviously hurt by that. He knew that it sucks not having him there, and it sucks just everything. It just sucks. But to see Ginobili come out and do that, that's what it felt like to me, you know? Like, he brought that passion and that intensity, and he just really, really wanted this win. And to see him do that, it was just classic and just amazing to watch.
Yeah, you know, as much as maybe he was not the highest scorer in the game, either team, but I mean, his fourth quarter performance, look at this, 10 points in 6 minutes. He knocks down 2 crucial back-breaking threes on the defending champs, and he shoots 75% from the field. He was just everything you wanted out of Manu Ginobili. And if this was his last game in San Antonio, hopefully there's more. The Spurs extend this out a little bit. But if this was, what a memory he left the fans in San Antonio. Tyler, I just had to ask you, do you think this is it for him? I don't think so.
Man, I don't know. Like, there's been games where he just kind of plays a little underwhelming, and you're just maybe like, oh, it's his age. But then he comes out and does things like this, or that shot against the Celtics in the regular season. It's like, man, like, maybe he's got a few more years left in him. It's just, this guy's so unpredictable. It's just, I don't even know what to think at this point. Until he comes out and says, I'm done, I'm never going to think he's going to quit, because it just seems like he can go forever.
Yeah, exactly. He definitely was the soul, the spirit, the heart of this Spurs team in Game 4. Even afterwards, when Pau Gasol was asked about Manu Ginobili's performance and where he just gets that type of flow, that type of energy, know what he said? 2 words: his heart. And you cannot sum it up better than that. Thank you, Pau Gasol, for putting it in such a short and succinct way. All right, continuing on with these stats now. You know, the Spurs, you know, they did have some issues. They were definitely out-rebounded by Golden State. I found that a little shocking simply because of the size that the Spurs have. Were you a little kind of, you know, taken aback by that?
Yes and no. I feel like the Spurs have kind of struggled in a way to kind of rebound the basketball, but they have so many bigs.
61-34. I mean, that needs to get cleaned up in Game 5.
Yeah, it definitely does. But it's like, the thing about the Warriors is they're so young and they're so athletic that to see them, I guess, dominate like that, it's really not that shocking to me, you know? I mean, because I feel like they just have, I don't really know how to word this, more energy to do so, I guess you could say. So to see the Warriors do something like that, I mean, like, it's to any other team, it's like, wow, that's insane. But for a team like the Warriors, they're just so good at everything.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, that's just a Warriors thing, you know? So it wasn't that surprising to me. But like you said, yeah, that's got to be cleaned up if they want to have any chance of winning.
Yeah, exactly. But believe it or not, listener and Tyler, that was it. That's like the only negative spot that I can think of when it comes to game four and the Spurs picking up the W. Look, aside from that, the Spurs pretty much as a team dominated this game from the get-go. They were able to establish themselves in the paint. The final numbers were Spurs 34 points in the paint to the Warriors 34. So they stayed toe-to-toe with them. But the number that sticks out for me, Tyler, the amount of turnovers they had. It was a low amount, only 8 turnovers for the game. And I believe they had 0 turnovers after the first quarter. That's something that has been cleaned up quite a bit in the last 2 games. In game 3, Tyler, they only had 2 turnovers after the first half. In this game, they only had 8 turnovers in total. I think that has been key for this Spurs team to remain somewhat competitive with the defending champs. Thoughts?
I mean, yeah, that is a huge stat because I can recall so many times this season where you and I would discuss, you know, turnovers are killing them. They got to protect the ball. They're coughing it up too much. And to see them come out there and just really tighten up on that and take care of the basketball, to be honest with you, I would have liked to have seen that a lot sooner because maybe we wouldn't be facing off against the defending champions in the first round. But, I mean, moving forward, yeah, that's awesome, and that's going to put themselves in a great position to win these kind of games, because if they're able to maintain good possessions of the ball, then yeah, you're going to put yourself in a position to win.
Yeah, exactly. That was the one stat on the box that I liked the best, and obviously there's other things, but that really screamed out to me like, wow, this Spurs team is really valuing the ball. And even deeper than that, Tyler, this Spurs team is not giving up easy buckets to the Warriors. Now, look, the Spurs made the Warriors pay in game 4, 21 points off 18. I said that right, 18 Golden State turnovers. If this Golden State team has one Achilles heels, is that sometimes they get very careless with the ball, and the Spurs punish them in game 4. Moving on, the high scorer for the Spurs was, shocking, LaMarcus Aldridge. 22 points, had a double-double, and 10 rebounds. And since when did he become the next Steve Kerr? When did he become the next Reggie Miller? When did he become the next Craig Hodges? Seriously, or Larry Bird? 3 for 3, I mean, my goodness. When did he start getting hot from downtown? He even had a miracle 3-point shot late in the game go down. Pau Gasol talked about that afterwards. And what he said? Thank God. He was like, thank God it went in. Thoughts?
I mean, it's always been known he's a great shooter, but I can't remember the game, but I remember it was a recent game. It might have been against the Lakers, don't quote me on that, but I remember that he shot a 3, and the announcers were like, that might be I think that was one of the first 3s he's taken in a long time. But now to see him come out here and hit 3 for 3 from deep, it's like, wow. At this point, what can't this guy do? Where can't he score? You know, I mean, he's got the turnaround shot. If he can implement a consistent 3-ball in his game, I mean, this guy's going to be pretty much unstoppable.
Yeah, Marcus Aldridge was asked about that miracle 3-point shot, and he said, quote, things happen sometimes. I said we have to come out here, play confident, and take shots with confidence. I took it with confidence. So he was confident about that shot late in the game. All right, moving on with this box score before we start doing our takeaways. As mentioned, the Spurs also had a lot of help from their role players. And I think this is something that has been missing in the last few games versus Golden State. Usually it's, what do you usually hear, Tyler? It's LaMarcus Aldridge and Patty Mills. Usually those are the 1-2 guys that have been putting up numbers on the scoreboard. But in game 4, it was a balanced attack. Patty Mills, he didn't have a double-digit scoring, but he did have 9 points. DeJounte Murray, we'll get back to him in a bit, 12 points. Mentioned about Manu Ginobili, but Kyle Anderson, 10 points. Pau Gasol, 5 points. Parker with 9 points. At the end of the day, I think the stat came out that Parker and Manu have become now the winningest duo in NBA playoff history. So that just shows they played a lot of games and they have, they're old already, I think, in my opinion. But let's talk about DeJounte Murray. I don't think he's getting enough shine off this game. And look, I get it. Manu Ginobili was phenomenal. LaMarcus Aldridge was phenomenal. But You know, DeJounte Murray, 12 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, 3 for 4. He had 3 three-point shots going. That's his weakness, is the deep ball. It went in. He shot 50% from the field in 26 minutes of play. Your thoughts on DeJounte Murray's play versus Golden State?
It's great to see because, I mean, he's still young and he's still learning and he's been kind of thrown into the fire at this point. And it's just, I feel like to see him play really well against a team like this, even though they are without Steph Curry, it's still great to see. And like you said, 3 for 4 from three. I mean, DeJounte Murray, that's his stat. Are you sure someone didn't mess that up? I mean, I don't think we've ever seen him really shoot a three ball like that consistently. So to see him kind of show some life and see that he can score the ball in more ways than just trying to drive the lane and throw up a floater, it's pretty cool to see, and hopefully he can take that moving forward into the offseason and work on that even more.
Yeah, exactly. Now let's go to Rudy Gay. You know what? If Manu Ginobili is the heart and soul of this team, Rudy Gay is the guy who just gives them that never quit attitude. Now, look, Manu Ginobili does it too, but he's a little bit more aggressive about it. He finished with 14 points, and I'll talk to you what I mean by that in a bit, Tyler. 14 points to finish the game, 7 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals. Didn't make a 3-point shot, but he shot 47% from the field. He was a plus 16 for the Spurs in game 4. Now, I want to talk about this, and I love what he said after the game. Obviously, it's a big win. You know they had to rally. They had to get in there and get this game. But when he was asked about game 4 and the possibility of getting eliminated, he pretty much said this. He says, "We deserved it. I think we did. We got a win, and we're happy with that. It's not over yet." He was just on fire. I mean, he wasn't talking smack or anything like that, but you could just tell he was pumped. Listen to this. Oh my! I want to frame this. Like, I think it's like one of those inspirational posters you would see back in the day. He said, "We took their punches and we played defense and offense. We moved the ball and we played together. Today we showed what we could do." I like that. Something tells me there, like, he knows that this team is bigger than what they showed in the first 3 games. Look, the Spurs, they're in a hole right now, but if they can take this type of mentality that Rudy Gay has moving forward, who knows if they can pull off a miracle?
I don't know about that. Yeah. I don't know, man. It's been such a long season. And to see, like, we've seen him play well, and like he said, we know what they can do, but it just comes to the point that it's like, when can they do it,
Yeah.
And at this point, I'm just like, I don't know. I'm just so up in the air with everything. But if they perform like they did today or in game 3 or game 4, sorry, then I think they do have a shot. And it's not over till it's over. But for right now, I mean, I'm just going to keep my mouth shut and see. Let them do the talking. Let their play do the talking.
Yeah, you know what? You don't want to sound like those canned answers or the same old one game at a time. But, I mean, that's all they can do right now is simply just have one game at a time. They took care of the game in San Antonio yesterday, and hopefully they can, it's like going into game 5, they have 2 issues. One, trying to pull off another miracle game, and 2, winning on the road. I mean, seriously, it's like they're cursed on the road. So as much as the game 4 win helps a little bit, their backs are still against that wall, and so they're going into game 5 with a lot on the line, not only their season, obviously, but to prove that they can win away from the AT&T Center, to prove that what happened in Game 4 was not lightning in a bottle, that it can be duplicated, and if Rudy Gay is true when he's saying, "Today we showed what we can do," they're going to have to show it again in Game 5 later on this week. All right, continue on with the stats before we get to the main event here on Locked On Spurs. Let's talk about this. The Spurs simply just don't have an answer for Kevin Durant. In game 4, he finishes with 34 points. Yet the Spurs still got the W. Did you see something different with the Spurs defense and how they're trying to it looks like they could not slow down Kevin Durant, but they did a good job as far as limiting Klay Thompson to 12 points. Draymond Green only 9 points. Sean Livingston 10. Andre Iguodala only 4 points. Do you think the Spurs defense played a big factor in that? I mean, think about this too, Tyler. They held the Warriors, mind you, to well under 100 points, 90 points, 10 points under. I mean, that is a credit to their defense. But is this a situation where maybe the Warriors were playing bad, or the Spurs defense was that effective?
I'd say it's a little of both. I mean, you're not going to have a great game every single night. But the Spurs have been, that's how they got this far in the first place, is their defense. But, I mean, I'm looking at the numbers here, and Kevin Durant going 12 of 28, 43% from the field, and Klay Thompson 4 of 16 from the field. That's gotta speak some, speak on their defense a little bit, you know? I mean, you're not just going to go out there and miss. You're not going to go 4 of 16 from the field without someone putting a hand in your face. So I'm definitely going to give the Spurs some credit for their defense here and being able to, like you said, slow down Kevin Durant, even though he still finished with 34 points. But for him, that's it could be a lot higher. But Klay Thompson, that's the big one for me, you know? 4 of 16, I mean, we've seen this guy light up teams all for the last few years. And for four, gosh, I can't get over that. 4 of 16? That's just uncanny for him, you know? So, yeah, I'm definitely going to give the credit to the Spurs defense, but I'm also going to say that maybe it's just a bad day for the Warriors.
Yeah, the Spurs' three-point defense was on par in Game 4. They held up the Warriors for 7 for 28, shooting 25% from deep. You eliminate that from their weapons arsenal, if you will, then you have a good shot against the Warriors, and the Spurs took advantage of that. They were the ones that were giving the Warriors headaches from deep. The Spurs finished 15 of 28 from the three-point line for 54% shooting from deep. That is just insane, Tyler.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at this team, you know, it's like they got some shooters, but for a 54% from three, I mean, they're not that good of shooters in my eyes, but I mean, it was working for them today. I mean, they're playing at home, and they've played well at home all season, and it just shows, you know, so it's to see them come out there and hit some shots, that's going to do wonders for their confidence and just moving forward, like I said earlier in the show, just building that momentum into Game 5.
Yeah, and Game 5 is looming, I believe. It is this coming week, Tuesday, in Oakland, and the Spurs are going to have to do it again in Game 5. All right, so let's go ahead and move on to our takeaways. Now, we kind of generally spoke about the game and, you know, our general thoughts, but now what is the one thing? What is the one thing that stands out in our mind about Game 4 and the W the Spurs picked up? All right, Tyler, why don't you go ahead and lead us off here. What is your one big takeaway?
My biggest takeaway from the game is the fact that they played with so much heart, you know, and we talked about this earlier with Manu, but as far as the entire team goes, with everything that's been going on in this organization as far as Pop and his situation, and then that's obviously going to funnel down into the actual team, and to see them come out here and pick up a huge win. I mean, not huge in the like swing in the series huge, but for Spurs fans and the Spurs as a team, you know, that's a huge win. You go out there and you get beat up for the first three games, and then you come out here and you pick up a win by 13 points. And like you said, holding the defending champs, the best offensive team in the league, to 90 points. I mean, that's got to say something. So to see them come out with this much heart and this much intensity, and it just looks like they wanted it so bad. And like you said, Manu, when he was hitting shots, he was screaming at the crowd, fist pumping, everyone was getting involved. It's just like, that was great to see. And it speaks wonders to me because it looks like their mental game is where it needs to be. And if anything can happen, and the odds are definitely against them, but if they want any chance of coming back and winning this series, it starts with your mental game and it starts with your heart. I mean, you got to come out there and you got to play well and you got to want the win. You got to want it more than them. And it looked like they definitely wanted it today. So to see them come out there with this kind of heart and this intensity, that spoke wonders to me.
You talk about defense. In the fourth quarter, the Spurs held the Warriors to 19 points. The Warriors only won one quarter, which is the third, 29-21. But the Spurs definitely took care of the rest of them. They outscored the Warriors in period one, 30-22. Outscored the Warriors in the second quarter, 26-20. And in the final frame, 26-19, leading to the 103-90 win for San Antonio. For me, my biggest takeaway is this. I think if this is a turning point in this series, and hopefully it is, then I think what we're seeing right now is that this team can, at least for one game, can contend with the big boys even without Kawhi Leonard. that Kawhi Leonard situation is still hanging over the Spurs right now. Yes, it was good to get the win. Maybe get your mind off the situation, what's going on between the Spurs and Leonard. But at least in one game, this Spurs team proved that, you know what? Even without their biggest star, they can go in and handle business. Now, look, I'm not sitting here saying the Spurs should get rid of Kawhi. I know, and I'm pretty sure, Tyler, you're aware of this. Spurs fans are starting to fracture. They're starting to be Camp Kawhi and Camp kick him out of here. But at least in this game, you know, in the era of the NBA where there's a big three and possibly sometimes big fours, the Spurs prove that a team can win against the mightiest teams of all right now, which is one of them, the Golden State Warriors. And it's just simple things. The defense ratcheted up. The heart of a champion showed through with Manu Ginobili. The team collective stepped up and shined brightly with everybody chipping in some way, but at least it was positive. And finally, the home crowd was there to cheer them on and to urge them and to give them that extra boost when they needed it, because it got a little dicey in the late in the game when the Warriors were mounting a comeback. Not sitting here right now, it's my turn to pretty much step all over Kawhi and his name and, you know, how many people think that maybe he quit on the team. Yeah, it's starting to get to that point now. But for one shining moment, you didn't hear the words during the broadcast, oh, if, you know, the Spurs had Kawhi Leonard, this would have been a different situation. Or, oh, what could have been? And oh, well, what do you expect? They don't have Kawhi Leonard. No, it was Manu Ginobili stepping up. LaMarcus Aldridge hitting clutch three-point shots. DeJounte Murray shining bright. Didn't really hear about Kawhi Leonard in the broadcast of Game 4, and I like that. Showed them grit, showed some heart, and showed that this team is a team right now despite the off-the-court issues with Kawhi Leonard. Tyler?
Yeah, I mean, I think, like you said earlier, it's just like some people are just tired of the situation and some people just keep wanting to know more and more and more. For me personally, I'm just kind of, I'm over it. It's like, at this point, I either want him to leave or I want him to just come out and say, like, look, I'm staying. I'm really hurt, this and that, but to kind of veer off of that whole topic because that's a different show in itself. To see them come out there and pick up this win even without him, their best player, it's like, they're just like us, that kind of plays a part within my takeaway. It's like their heart, you know. They can come out there and they can pick up games like this and pick up and beat teams like the Warriors, the defending champion, the almighty Warriors, you know, even without Kawhi Leonard. So yeah, it's definitely, it's great to see. And if Kawhi does end up leaving, which no one knows if he is or isn't, I mean, it can give Spurs fans some hope that maybe there is a bright future ahead.
All right, and take us home now. What is the final takeaway, Tyler?
My final takeaway is a negative one, actually, and it's what is going on with Danny Green.
Okay.
I mean, for the fourth game in a row, let's date back to game one. 6 points, 2 of 5 shooting for 40%. In game two, 0 points, 0 of 3 shooting. You can do the math on that one, 0% from the field. Then game three, 9 points, starting to see some life, but still 4 of 10 from shooting, 1 of 4 from deep. And then you go into this game, 6 points, 2 of 7 shooting, and 2 of 5 from deep. It's like, what is going on with Danny Green? I can date back to when the Spurs were in the finals against the Miami Heat, and there's both of those series back-to-back years. He was kind of the guy, you know? I mean, obviously you had Kawhi, you had Tim Duncan, Tony Parker, all those guys. You know all them. But still, they had Danny Green to rely on if the times were getting tough. They need a big shot. Give the ball to Danny. And we even saw some flashes in this season. He's taking people off the dribble. We aren't really used to seeing Danny Green do that. He's more of a spot-up three. We saw him attacking the rim more, taking some jump shots, hitting three balls, you know? But it's like, he's just been non-existent this series, and it's like, what is going on with this guy? Because right now, I mean, the Spurs are lacking what? Offense. Mm-hmm. And what is he good at? Shooting the basketball. And it's like, okay, we need you. We need you to shoot that ball, and we need you to get these clutch threes or clutch shots or any kind of shot. But, I mean, he's just been non-existent this series.
Yeah, you know what? I would agree with you to a certain degree in the sense of maybe heading into game four. Yeah, his shot's been off, and he showed a little flash here and there in the series, and especially in game four, he had hit a couple of shots, three-point shots as well. But I think as much as maybe he might not be doing it offensively, I think he's doing a good job defensively. Now, look, you mentioned Klay Thompson earlier, and we're talking about him. You know, credit Danny Green. He had a lot to do with that as far as defending Klay Thompson. After the game, Pau Gasol touched on Green's defense on Klay, and he has said this, quote, "He just beats on Klay in the way Danny can because of his length and physicality. And more important, you have to stay attached to him. You can't relax. It's 24 seconds all at all times, every possession." So you're looking at Danny Green, who may not be getting it done on the offensive end, which would be great if he could. And I agree with you, Tyler. I think he needs to start knocking down some shots. But I give him a half. I give him a half a point, if you will. Not a full point, because his defense has been good. It was stellar in game four. The players noticed it. Pau Gasol noticed it. Klay Thompson definitely felt the effects of his defense. So kudos to Danny in the defensive end. Offensively, I think, especially going into game five, hostile enemy territory, if he can start knocking down some shots and playing defense, then exactly, that's a recipe for exactly what the Spurs team needs heading into game five. All right, so that is our recap and takeaways from game four, but we want to hear what you have to say. You can email me at jeffgarcia74@gmail.com. Follow me on Twitter at JeffGSpursZone, and now Tyler's going to tell you everywhere how to get a hold of him.
You can follow me on Twitter at TylerGurkin_5. I tweet out all my articles as well as my colleagues' articles, and we have a lot of good stuff coming out this week, so be sure to go drop me a follow and make sure you keep up to date with some Spurs Zone work.
Exactly, and you can read Tyler's article about who shined and who didn't in Game 4, and he has a nice article coming up later today about Patrick Beverley. Is Patrick Beverley trying to do some recruiting already, and it's not even the offseason for the Spurs? Regarding one Kawhi Leonard, go check it out. It is out there on the Spurs Zone. If not, by the time we're listening to it, it will definitely be up later on today. But for Tyler Clerkin, I am Jeff Garcia. We're going to put a lock on this episode of Locked On Spurs.